I want you to open your Bibles with me, please. There's a little verse over in the book of Hebrews in the chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, in the verse number 31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You know, whenever a brother was testifying of the grace of God in his life, surely it is the amazing grace of God. And how sweet a sound it is whenever we hear of someone testifying of what Christ has done for them. And then I was thinking of the hymn which says, "It is no secret what God can do. For what he's done for Tom, thank God he can do for you." And then I was thinking indeed this week about our brother's testimony, and I was thinking about Rahab's testimony. Because Rahab is amongst those by faith. And thank God she's in the family of God and she's with the Savior. Because by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You know, Rahab was a harlot. In other words, Rahab lived a life of sin. She lived apart from God. She walked away from God. And she lived a life of harlotry and deep sin. But thank God for the divine intervention of the Lord. Because outside of the divine intervention of God, Rahab would have remained a hardened harlot, a hopeless case, and a candidate for hell. But thank God when I look at that story of Rahab, and when I listen to the story of our brother Tom, I realize that it reveals the wondrous grace, the saving grace of God. And the grace of God that superabounds, because where sin abounds, the Bible says, grace doth much more abound. And that is exactly what happened in our brother's life. Because where sin abound, thank God the grace of God did much more abound. And that's the story of Rahab. Because she was a harlot and sin abounded in her life. But thank God the story reveals the saving, sovereign grace of God. Now we ask ourselves the question, well, how did she get saved? How did her brother get saved? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 says, "By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, it is not of works, lest any man should boast." How did Rahab get saved? It says, "By faith, Rahab, perish not with them that believe not." By faith, she believed the word of God. You see, shortly before the Israelites broke up camp at Sittim to cross into Canaan, Joshua sent two spies into Canaan to secretly spy out the land. He was a strategist. He believed in having a strategy for victory. And I believe that under God, he sent those two spies into the land. Now, the amazing thing was this. Here was two spies, and they came into the land of Canaan. And where did they arrive? They arrived at, and they stayed at, the house of a harlot. Now, of course, I believe that this house, in actual fact, it was a boarding house. It was a place where boarders stayed, and I suppose that was a natural place that they would stay. They wouldn't know about her history. They didn't know about her past. They didn't know that this was a sinful woman. They didn't know that this was a harlot. They just knew it was a boarding house. They wanted to stay, and so these two men came and stayed. But let me tell you, it wasn't by accident. This was God's work. This was God's moving. Let me tell you, God was going to visit salvation on this house, and God was going to change it. And glory to God, he was going to save the harlot, and he was going to make her an heir of the kingdom and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. My friend, the amazing sovereign grace of an amazing sovereign God. But how did God work it all out? Let me tell you, my friend, God had already been working. And you know, our brother was saying that, you know, even when he went to that mission, he heard nothing at that mission that he hadn't heard before. You see, God had already been working. God had been working in those early tender years of our brother's life when he was in the depths of a sin. God was working. God was working in Sunday school. God was working sitting under the preaching of the Word. And it may have seemed that nothing was going through the ears at all, only wind going in one side and outside the other, because it seemed that nothing was gathering in between. And yet God was working. God was doing His own miracle. You see, my friend, let's go back to the story. Joshua chapter 2. And when you go to Joshua chapter 2, you'll see in verse number 8, let's read just a few verses here. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Mark this in verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sharon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You see, my friend, before these two men had arrived, she had already heard. She heard the news of how God had already delivered others. How that God had delivered the children of Israel in the past, and what God had done, the miracles that God had done in the past. And she heard about it. And she said, For we have heard in verse 10 how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And so she heard of God's deliverance. And when she heard the glory to God, God swept aside all the barriers to bring them into the land of promise. How that God had delivered them, and how that God had stepped in. Now friend, that's how people are saved. You see, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Our brother had heard, let me tell you this, the word of God had been planted years before in his heart. And glory to God, God brought it to fruition. Yes, He brought it in the mission. But let me tell you, the seed was already sown. It was already there. You know, we had the joy of seeing a dear lady come to Christ. And past the 70 this past week. And you know, she sat here in these meetings for years. For years. And you know, sometimes there were people as they were praying, they wondered, would God ever see it? Would God ever move in her heart? Would God ever work the miracle of His grace? And perhaps some even doubted. But glory to God, He did. And let me tell you, my friends, the Word of God had been written in her heart. And that's why I rejoice that when a person comes into a gospel meeting like this, my friend, irrespective of they want to hear, God can write the Word in their heart. God can implant the Word. Listen, let me tell you. My Word shall not return unto me void. Mom in God's name, Dad in God's name, son or daughter, get your loved ones in unto the Word, because God will bless and honor His Word. He's a covenant God. And God has promised to bless His Word. Now, she said, I heard it. I heard the news of what God did. How God dried up the water off the Red Sea for you. He did it for you. He did it for you. You're one of His children. He did it for you. And my, she knew His testimony. She knew their testimony. God had intervened, and God had done it in grace. God didn't choose the children of Israel because they were someone special. God chose them because He chose them. God says, I loved you because I loved you. Not because of who you are or what you are. God says, listen, the grace is mine. The choice is mine. I chose you. I loved you. I put my love upon you. And then I look back on my life, and that's exactly why I'm saved tonight, because God set His electing love upon me. He said, listen, you did not choose me, I chose you. And I ordained you. And let me tell you, God in His sovereign plan and purpose, glory to God, when a Sabbath school teacher was implanting the word in the heart of a little boy many, many years ago, God was writing it in the heart. And God's word shall not return unto my boy. Don't you believe it, friend, that person has got nothing out of the sermon. Don't you believe it? That's the devil's lie. You just give the devil a kick. Resist him in God's name. Because when God's word is getting into the head, let me tell you, God can also put it into the heart. That's the sovereign working of a sovereign and amazing God. She heard. She heard. And faith cometh by hearing. And friend, let me tell you, that's exactly what this woman, she had already heard it. And my, these men had the opportunity of confirming it, that God had worked for them. And my, the Lord was working here. Now, not only did she hear, but let's stick this out. She acknowledged. Look at verse number 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, listen, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And you see the tidings of what God had done, friend. Listen, it had broken the backbone of her pride and her stubbornness. And she knew that God had done this. And friend, I'll tell you what happened in that woman's life. Her heart, the Bible says, it melted in her. She said, when we heard it, our hearts did melt. What did that mean? It took her pride away. Took her arrogance away. And friend, you know what it exposed? It exposed her helplessness and exposed her hopelessness. We can't fight against God. We're no use against God. And she realized, she said, listen, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in us. We felt helpless. We felt hopeless. Sinner, let me tell you, you need to feel helpless tonight of yourself. You can't save yourself. You'll never be able to save yourself. You need to feel hopeless. Our brother talked about going to and fro in his head. He didn't know where it was going to bust or what was going to happen because he was so in such a muddle and a mess under the conviction of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, friend, he wasn't arrogant anymore. God broke him. God broke him. You know what I pray tonight? I pray, listen, with all my heart, listen, that God will take the most stubborn, rebellious person sitting in this meeting today. And I pray with all my heart, God, would you break him? Break him. Break that stubborn heart. Break that stubborn will. Break that arrogant spirit. Oh, God, break it. Do it in mercy, Lord. Oh, God, do it in mercy. But God, break him. Break him. And let me tell you, God broke her resistance. God broke the backbone of her pride. And God melted her. Until she acknowledged, listen, the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And she acknowledged who God was, friend. And you know she was afraid. Our brother talked about being afraid. Afraid to die, afraid of meeting God, for he knew he had to meet God. Friend, meet God you will. A loved one of mine this week, we laid her body in Mother Earth this past week, and let me tell you, she took a pain. And when she felt the pain, and her son was there, and he wanted to ring it out, she said, no, it'll be all right. But deep in her heart, she knew there was something wrong. And he went out, the lad went out into the yard to continue the work. But friend, let me tell you, she knew there was something wrong here. And she felt the pain and it got worse. And she went down to the phone and she rang the doctor and she rang the ambulance and she died at the phone. She just laid down out under God's eternity, friend. And the doctor wasn't able to help and the ambulance didn't need to come. Which is gone. And here we find this woman Rahab. Yes, she heard. And she acknowledged, listen, I know that God's the Lord. Friend, let me tell you, God made you. And one day you're answerable to God, friend, and you may think you're answerable to nobody. I remember years ago whenever our young people were setting up the stall for the Mad May Festival. Way years ago, and I remember coming from a mission. And I came down the road on my at around about 11 o'clock. They'd been putting up that little tent, and they were having a little wee stall down there in the diamond. And they're putting the Bibles, they were selling Bibles and things in the Bible. And I remember when I came, some of the young people came over to me and said, Mr. McRae, so-and-so came to us. He was a policeman. A young policeman came out of Mary Scullion's pub across the diamond. And he walked over to them where they were putting up the wee stall for to sell the Bibles. And he started to mock them as they were putting up the stall. And then he started to mock God. And he lifted up his fist like that. He mocked. He says, if there's a God in heaven, if there's a God up there, he says, I defy him to strike me down. And I remember some of the young people saying to me, preacher, why didn't God do it? And I said, friend, let me tell you, if that had been you and me, we would have. But God's a God of compassion, and God's a God of love, and God's a God of mercy. God has struck that fellow down, friend, he'd have went straight to hell. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. And here's a woman, let me tell you, she heard, and she said, you see, when I heard, she says, my heart had melted. And there was no courage in me anymore. I felt helpless. And I felt absolutely hopeless. And friend, let me tell you, sinner, of yourself, you are absolutely and totally helpless. And of yourself, you are totally and completely hopeless. Without God, you're lost. Without God, you're condemned. Without God, you'll be damned. Oh, that God would reveal to you your utter helplessness. She said, listen, there was no more courage in us. In other words, she was without strength. She knew she couldn't stand against God. Aye, and neither can you, friend, whether you know it tonight or not. And neither will you. The great preacher many years ago, Jonathan Edwards, preached the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And as he preached, friend, so great was the power of conviction that men and women sat there, and there were pillars there in the church, and they held on to the pillars. They felt the very pews going from and under them. They felt the seats moving as if they were dropping into hell, and they cried out, preacher, in God's name, stop and lead us to Christ. Because they knew they were without strength, they couldn't face God. And so are you, friend. You're without strength. You can't even lift a finger to save yourself. Our brother was saying, you know, when he indicated the desire, correct, absolutely correct, brother. Raising your hand doesn't save you, and raising your finger doesn't either. But it does indicate the desire. It does indicate the desire, friend, that you honestly mean business with God and you desire God's salvation, because there's no one can save you but Jesus. There's no other way but God's way. And she acknowledged. She said, my heart melted. There remained no more courage in me. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven. Oh, that God would reveal Himself in His majesty and power tonight. And reveal Himself, dear sinner, to you, who He is, the God of compassion and the God of love. But notice, not only did she hear, and not only did she acknowledge, but look at verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and though all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. She said, listen, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. In other words, she believed.
She believed.
She believed what she heard. The terror of God had fallen upon the inhabitants of the land. But I want to tell you something. Only Rahab and her family believed. The rest of the land were damned. Did you read that? What was our verse tonight? By faith, Rahab believed. Let's go back again to Hebrews 11. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that what? Believed not. You see, the rest perished. Why did they perish? Because they believed not. And why was she saved? Because she believed the word of God. She believed the Lord. She took the message that she heard in, and she believed. Yes, the fear of God came upon her, because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Some people say, you know, some of you preachers stand up there and you make people terrified. Our brother Tom was saying he was shaking in his shoes. Then I'd rather terrify you into heaven than lull you into hell. The pulpits today are silent about God's hell, and let me tell you, they're not taking men and women to God's heaven, because they're not preaching the way there. The only way to God's heaven is through the precious finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross and the precious blood that Jesus shed upon the cross of Calvary. But let me tell you, friend, not only did she believe the promises of God, but she believed in the God of the promises. That's the secret. You see, there are men and women believe when God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Yes, they know that that's true. And they know that's a promise from God, friend. God said to Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was a promise for him. And it's very possible for you to know the scriptures tonight, for to know the word of God, and you say, listen, yes, I believe the promises of God, but listen. Do you believe the God of the promises? Because that's the one she believed in. She believed in the God of the promises. Listen, friend. Do you know how I know? Because she made her choice. And she turned her back on the gods of Canaan to follow the Lord. Yes, she said, the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and the earth beneath. She believed. Times of witness. Listen, she prayed. To pray it. Look at verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. She pleads for a place in the great deliverance that Jehovah was accomplishing for his people. She says, I pray you, I beg you. She was earnest in prayer. She and her brother called on God to save him. He was dead earnest. We man used to come to our meetings. You say, well, does he not come anymore? Where is he sitting someday? I'll tell you where he sits. In heaven, at the feet of Jesus. He's at home. In glory. And the wee man, let me tell you this. He knew the gospel. He sat for years. He used to be the caretaker down in the Christian Workers Union Hall. They called him George Mawinney. And George Mawinney went along, and he was a caretaker for years. Wasn't saved. Went for years, then. Came along here and helped. I remember when he was putting up the first wee hall here. First wee tin hut at the front. I remember George says, preacher, you have nowhere to go. And that was true. It happened. To get something to eat, he says, come on down with me. And we went to 108 Queen's Avenue. And I remember sitting at the front window. I can still see me sitting. And Mrs. Mawinney handed me a chicken supper. I remember sitting, boys, and I can tell you the grease of the chicken was running down my cheeks, but I was as happy as Larry, looking out through the window. I can still see the picture yet, friend. And that was, listen, 35 years ago. Remember us putting up that wee hall? But he wasn't saved. Still wasn't saved. I preached to years in that wee hall to George. And still it seemed as if he was as hard as nails. Great respect. Oh, great respect for the word. Great love for the preacher. But was going closer to hell every day that he rose. And every night he put his head in the pillow. I remember one night at the end of the meeting, the Lord drew graciously near. And I remember making the appeal. And George looked up. He raised that hand. I remember inviting the people to come down the aisle. Let me tell you, friend, just like a shot, George was out of the back row, into the middle of the aisle, walked down the aisle, walked into the inquiry room. I finished the appeal. I closed the meeting. I remember going into the back room, and says George, he was sitting there. I says, George, it's great to see you in this room. I want to lead you to Christ. He says, it's done. I says to him, what do you mean, George? He says, I'm saved. I called on the Lord to save me. Friend, let me tell you, you see, he knew the gospel. He knew it. But he had got to come. There's people listening to me in this meeting tonight, let me tell you, downstairs there. And there's people up there in that gathering, let me tell you, you know that you need Jesus. But you've got to come to him. You've got to come. You've got to call. Says, I beg you, I pray you. Dead earnest. George was dead earnest. I said, George, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's get down on our knees and thank God for it anyway. And George got down on his knees and he thanked God for saving him. And so did I. 'Tis done. The great transaction is done. Listen, she was dead earnest. Aye, she was dead urgent. She knew Jericho's doomed. She was living in a doomed city. Friend, let me tell you. You're sitting in this meeting tonight. And let me tell you, you're sitting on a doomed carcass. You're sitting in a doomed carcass. Because we've got to die. But glory to God, those that are His. We'll get a glorified body like unto Christ's glorious body. And we shall be like him. And we shall see him as he is. And she says, give me a token. Please, notice it. Give me, the end of verse 12, give me a true token. I beg you, give me. Do you remember the wee woman at the well? She said, give me to drink. Dead earnest, dead urgent. And then she says, remember my family too. Remember them too. And here's the last thought. She received. She believed. She prayed. She received. You know, when I was reading this story, let me tell you. Go to verse 18 quickly. Behold, when we come into the land... This is the man talking to her. When we come into the land, thou shalt bind this lime of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. He said, I'll tell you what you do. When we come into the land, you put the scarlet line in the window. And when I was reading this, I was blessed. Because let me tell you, go to verse 21. And she said to them, before the man went off, she said, listen, according unto your word, so be. In other words, when you're coming into the land, I'll put the scarlet line in the window.
Look at verse 21. According unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. Listen. And she bound a scarlet line in the window. She wasn't waiting until they came back. She was doing it now. She was doing it now! Not waiting! Men and women in this meeting tonight, young people, and I want to tell you this, you know you need to receive, and you're waiting until your deathbed to call on Christ and say, before I go into hell, I'll call on Jesus. She says, I'll do it now. And they departed. And I can see her walk over. And she bound a scarlet line in the window. Oh, men and women, let me tell you, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Here's the chorus, I do believe. I will believe that Jesus died for me, that on the cross he shed his blood from sin to set me free. And Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Do you know why? Because she believed by faith. And friend, that's how you've got to come to Jesus tonight. By faith. As many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. It's not something magical, friend. But it's a miracle. It's a miracle of the grace of God. And one moment, as a sinner, you're on the road to hell. And thank God, the next, the blood of Jesus cleanses you. And you're a saint on the road to heaven. Glory to his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word tonight. Oh, we're so glad we know who Jesus is. We're so glad that he has saved us. We're so glad there are many in this gathering tonight can say, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And oh God, we pray for those that are not saved. Please save them now. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Dear unsaved man, dear unsaved woman, young person, why don't you come? Why don't you leave your sin? The pleasures of sin are only for a season. And you haven't a clue when that season is going to end. Now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. Will you come? And she tied the scarlet line in the window. Will you claim the blood tonight? Will you? Will you believe the word of God tonight and rest on the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross? He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace is upon him, and with his stripes you're healed. Will you come, friend?